Thank you for tuning into sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. Our goal is to help you know God more and take the next step in your spiritual journey, no matter where you're at. If you have questions about God or about Liberty, you can connect with us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
The Bibles are going to be in Luke 6. Are you ready with me this morning to study Jesus' first recorded sermon in Luke's gospel? It's interesting. Jesus preached undoubtedly hundreds of times. We knew it was his custom to preach nearly every week in the synagogue on the Sabbath. We see him doing that. And then he preached in other places. And he preached undoubtedly hundreds of times, maybe thousands of times in his three-year ministry, but for sure hundreds of times. But we have only a handful of his sermons that are recorded in Scripture. And really, less than what you can put on two hands do we have recorded messages or sermons. Now, we have his teaching and we have his words in different contexts that we can learn from throughout the Gospels. But as far as what I would call a sermon where he stood up to preach a message to a group of people, really less than two hands that we have recorded in the Gospels. And this one is the first recorded sermon in Luke. And if Jesus preached a message, how many of you agree? Probably a pretty important one for us to know and study and learn from, right? And we're gonna learn from that this morning. Jesus, his first recorded message in Luke. One of the realities of a teacher or preacher is that you will give hundreds of messages or lessons, and the reality is most of them will be forgotten. They will not be remembered long term. I might be a little discouraged if I went around and asked, what did I preach last Sunday? And if you asked me on a Saturday, what did you preach last Sunday? I might have to take a minute to remember, right? The reality is much of what we teach, and it's kind of like if you cook meals for your family, much of what you do, people aren't like, remember that meal dad cooked or mom cooked, 3 weeks ago on Thursday? It's just kind of that daily nourishment, and that's what happens with many of our messages. Every now and again, there's a pivotal message that kind of really deeply impacts and changes our lives. The same is true of Jesus. Most of the messages he preached are not remembered today. We have no access to them, but we have this one. God thought it was important enough to record this in Luke's gospel. And in this study of this series, in this sermon, Jesus is going to challenge the thinking of every one of his listeners. He's going to challenge the cultural understanding of the day. And if we're honest, 2,000 years later, I think he's going to challenge your thinking and mine with some of what he teaches today. It goes against everything that is natural in our understanding and our human thinking. If I had to try to summarize this message, maybe in one phrase or one statement, or now we have this new language, emojis, that we can kind of communicate things. If I had to summarize this message we're going to study in one emoji, it would be this one. Jesus is about to blow the minds of those listening to him in the first century. And I think for some of us, it's going to challenge us. And he's going to challenge us, will you change your thinking? Today's lesson, message, last week was, will you follow, as we studied the disciples. Today is, will you think like me? I don't mean like me. This is Jesus challenging his disciples. Will you think like me? Will you change your thinking from what seems normal, from what seems natural, from what you've always learned? That's the challenge that he gives to his listeners here and that he gives to us today. And Jesus is going to say some things here that is going to turn popular culture of the day upside down. Remember where we were last week? He's just gathered and deputized his 12 apostles from amongst his larger group of disciples. He's called his 12 apostles, the sent ones, and they're just getting their three-year ministry started. So this message is vital. How many of you, when you start a new job, they did some form of employee orientation or training? Let me just see. They did some form. Why? They want you to think the way you're supposed to think. They want you to understand their culture, their policies, but here's, if you're an employee here, here's how you have to think. Here's how you have to approach cultures. This is what's happening here. It's new employee orientation, if you will, for the apostles and the disciples. And by the way, for the multitudes. There are people gathered. This is thousands of people, undoubtedly, gathered to hear him. Probably, from what we can tell, the largest crowd that he has preached to this point in his earthly ministry. So this message is going out. People are interested. They've heard about the healings. They've heard, and they're like, what is this guy all about? Well, what is he teaching? What does this rabbi really stand for? And this message is going to answer those questions. Jesus is going to stand up and say, this is what it means to follow me. This is what it looks like to think like me. And so we're going to look at that today in Luke chapter number 6. In Matthew, you've probably heard Matthew 5 through 7. Jesus' most famous message, recorded sermon is known as the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount, we call it often, Matthew 5 through 7. This, most believe, is a condensed version of that sermon. And there are some that say this might have been preached at a different time. It doesn't really matter. But when you look at it, I would tend to believe this is a condensed version of that sermon, not as long as the recorded sermon in Matthew. And this one's often called the Sermon on the Plain, the flat ground, which is one reason why some people say it's different. Because in verse 17, Jesus has come off the mount, called the 12 apostles, verse 17, and he came down with them and stood in the plain, a flat place. Now, for me, that doesn't bother me that it makes it a different place, because you can have a flat place in a mountain or in a hillside where they could have been gathered. But this is known as often the Sermon on the Plain. Notice in verse 19, where we left off last week, the Bible says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. It's interesting to me. We often love the big miracles. We're often looking for the big experience. And the healing, he healed the multitude that came to hear him. It gets one phrase. But the word of God, Jesus teaching the truth, gets 30 verses. He says, hey, as a passing side, and I think there's some application there for us to understand what he does in us is more important than what he does for us. Sometimes we follow God for the gifts and not the giver, for what he can do for us and not the truth that we can learn and how he can change us. And by the way, what we see here is also that Jesus' healing always led to truth being given. So we have that one little phrase, he healed them all, and now 30 verses. We're going to break this sermon up into 2 weeks. We're going to look at the first half today, and we're going to finish up the second half next week. And let's start in verse number 20. What he's going to give them are four what we call beatitudes. Four beatitudes and four woes, W-O-E. Beatitude just means blessing. Woe means warning, cursed, hey, danger, caution. Blessing, beatitude, blessed are, and then woe to. Let's look at what we see here. And Jesus is going to show the people listening, which consisted of his 12 apostles, his larger group of disciples, and then the multitude of interested people that were not yet followers of Jesus. He's going to show them a different way of thinking. He's going to show them a different way of thinking. Let's look what he says here and allow Jesus to challenge and change your thinking today. Verse 20, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, what's that next word there, church? He said what? Blessed. We're going to see that word four times. The word blessed, probably the easiest translation is just happy. Joy-filled, happy, a blessed life. And it's not happiness can sometimes be a little more shallow. It's not a perfect, but it carries the idea of something to be grateful for, something to be appreciative of, something that makes our life good, something that makes us happy. So Jesus stands up, first recorded sermon, blessed are. Oh, I want to, hey, listen up. He's going to tell us how to be happy in life. He's going to tell us how to have a life that we're excited about, that we're appreciative of, that we're grateful for. Blessed be ye, what church? What? Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Verse 21, blessed are ye that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. What? When they shall separate you from their company, shall reproach you, shall cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Would you read verse 23 aloud with me? Ready? Begin. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Blessed, joyful, happy, wonderful life are the what? The four Beatitudes, the four blessings. The poor, the hungry, the sorrowful, the hated. I don't know about you. That's not on my list. I went down and bought from the Christian bookstore section the bestseller, and it didn't say anything about this is what I get if I follow Jesus. The poor, the hungry, the sorrowful, the hated. You have to understand his crowd in the first century. Most of those listening to Jesus would have lived from day to day. Most of them would have, at least at some point in their lives, truly wondered where their next meal was coming from. Most of them, it was daily subsistence. And all of his apostles had just left their entire careers, their entire families, all of their finances. They had left it all to follow Jesus. And we naturally, what do we do? Poverty is something to get away from as far as we can. Poverty is something that is looked down upon. And Jesus is giving them a different way of thinking. I'm going to explain it. Don't go in the wrong. He is not saying that I want everyone in poverty. The Bible shows us something different. It's not what he's saying here. I'll get to what he's saying. But he catches their attention. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are the sorrowful. Blessed are the haters. Life for these, the hated, not the haters, the hated. Life was a matter of daily, don't be a hater, all right, but you will be at times hated. Life was a matter of daily survival, and he says there is a blessing to living that way. What? I don't know about you, but these are literally four things that we, by nature, view as the worst possible conditions in life, aren't they? Poor, hungry, sorrowful, and hated. By the way, this is a pretty tough passage for peddlers of the prosperity gospel to reconcile with. He gives them the four blessings. Now let's look at the four woes. Verse 24. But woe, caution, danger, warning, cursed. Hey, that idea, woe, be careful, watch out. Woe unto you that are what, church? Woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Woe to the rich, woe to the full, woe to the lighthearted, woe to the praised. I don't know about you. If you asked for me and for my five children which life I would prefer, I'm going to pick the right side all day long. Would you rather be rich or poor? Rich. Would you rather be full or hungry? Full. Would you rather have laughter or sorrow? Laughter. Would you rather be praised or hated? Praised. And Jesus is challenging their thinking. Now, I want us to understand, because when you study things, you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. Understanding Jesus' example, his life, Jesus is not teaching here. He is not saying it is a sin to be rich. Abraham, Job, David, men that God used greatly, Solomon and mightily, some of the greatest people in Scripture, God blessed with material goods. He's not saying it's a sin. He's also not saying it's wrong to eat food.